No, I am not going to be the sole bad person on this show.
It's Thursday, October 21st, 2021. Episode 063. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, it's my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing this evening?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Of course you're hanging in there.
Yeah. Work's been kicking my ass, but I'm still here. So, now, the past 2 weeks, you commented that the weeks have been flying by for you. Is that still holding true?
Yes, it is. And partly it's because, as you said earlier, I've been really busy. It's literally, you look up and you're like, oh my goodness, it's already Wednesday.
Right.
Which is a great problem to have.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been going fast for me as well, but I feel... And I've definitely been busy, but I feel like I haven't accomplished anything. I have, but I feel like I haven't. It's weird.
Actually, that reminds me. I want to ask you a tech question after the show.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm always down for that.
All right. But speaking of the show.
Yeah, speaking of the show.
Motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
What did the bartender bring you?
I got the Joe High regular.
Okay.
I got the lemon. The strawberry lemonade margarita, and the Coke and rum, but this time with I think this is a rum from the what was that place? Being able to be Barbados.
Oh, okay.
So very good, spicy.
Excellent, very good. I'm just doing a coffee tonight. So
coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, you always roll your eyes. Well, I can't see you. I'm envisioning you rolling your eyes when you do that.
Yeah, and in this instance you do a very good job envisioning me.
Yeah. It's high octane even. So I'll probably be up all night, but oh well.
Now, is this that highfalutin coffee?
Well, it's expensive compared to some coffees, but there are other coffees much more expensive. You had brought up. Well, fuck it. I'm tired of trying to pretend like we didn't screw up. Yeah, this is the second time we started recording, folks. So
yeah. I didn't feel the need to, broadcast because they don't know that.
Yeah, I know, but we're going to keep referencing back to things that they haven't heard because
anyway, yeah, that's never a winning position to be in.
I screwed up. I thought I could do a different setup tonight, and it turns out that Joe couldn't hear any of the music or the sound clips. So fortunately, we caught it in time, and
we caught it at the Mod Arbery story.
Yeah, exactly. So
which is always towards the top of our show,
right? And so that's a great segue. Let's just the trial starts. I got a clip to tell us about it. Here it goes.
Todd Arbery was shot and killed while jogging through that residential neighborhood just about 15 minutes from this courthouse. His case got so much publicity that a massive jury pool has been summoned here this morning when lawyers will start the selection process of choosing the final 12. We want to remind our viewers that some of the video in this story could be disturbing.
This morning, the Ahmaud Arbery case back in the national spotlight. As the trial for the three men charged in Arbery's murder gets underway, 600 potential jurors summoned to court today, with 400 more on standby. Just 12 jurors.
600 people plus more. This trial's not going to fucking start for another month.
Well, I mean, you probably would need to go through that many people before you could find someone that didn't already have an opinion on the thing. Or at least could lie well enough to say they didn't have an opinion.
Fair enough.
We'll decide the high-profile case that sparked racial justice protests nationwide. Greg and Travis McMichael are facing murder charges for the February 2020 slaying of Arbery. The father and son, who are white, pursued Arbery, who is black, while he was jogging in their neighborhood. William Roddy Bryan, a neighbor who joined the chase and recorded the altercation on his cell phone, is also on trial for murder. Bryan's graphic video is expected to have a starring role in the case, which lawyers for Arbery's family have called a modern-day lynching.
This case is going to be a litmus test for where the nation is concerning race relations in the South in particular. This is in a region of the country that still has very present racial demons to grapple with.
The McMichaels have said they thought Arbery was a burglar responsible for a string of recent thefts in their area. Travis McMichael's attorney says he shot Arbery in self-defense, while Bryan has argued he was just a witness. The three suspects are charged with 9 counts each, including malice murder, felony murder, and aggravated assault. All three have pleaded not guilty to state and federal charges. In a statement, Bryan's defense attorney, Kevin Goff, telling NBC News, "We're confident that we will be able to select a fair and impartial jury."
This is the fight of the United States of America.
In advance of the trial, Arbery's family and supporters rallied together.
Ahmaud was love. He was love. He is love. And through this all, he still loved.
This morning, another chapter begins in one of the cases that sparked America's recent reckoning on race.
Attorneys tell us that because this is such a large jury pool in such a small community, about 1 in 50 people here received a summons in this case. They say it could be 1 to 2 weeks before the jury is seated. Savannah?
Katie back at the courthouse. Katie, thank you.
Good morning.
Wow. So let me ask you, one of the gentlemen that's in that clip said that this would be a litmus test for what race relations in the South or whatever. Let me ask you, as a black man, let's say that all three of these guys are convicted unanimously and they get the biggest penalty that law will allow. Will that change your opinion of race relations in the South?
No, not at all. And this is one of those things that I hate, where you'll have somebody, a black male in a suit normally, he'll say something, and if you, like, don't think about it, you're like, oh, okay. But if you think about it just for a second, you'll realize that it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. How is it that the gunning down on video of a black man, you know, how is that any type of litmus test? Is basically, I don't see that, and I didn't see the need to reference a modern day lynching. They had shotguns back in the night they used to lynch. They just ran down and gunned this person down. There's no need to make a lynching reference.
I hadn't watched that video for a while. Hearing those shotgun blasts during that clip was kind of like, damn.
Jarring.
Yeah, I got the video of that clip on the website, joehigh.com, if people want to go watch it.
I think shortly after I think I came across the original video, and I think I sent like everybody I knew a copy. And I think you actually went out and made it a point to grab copies and download it to make sure they didn't disappear.
Yeah, I've got them somewhere on my archive drives. Finding them is another question, but yeah, I do that. Because you can't trust the Googles and YouTubes and whatnot, because they can make uncomfortable content disappear.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But did I answer your question?
Yeah. I was just curious. You kind of hear that every. I'm sure that something similar was said at the Floyd trial, that the outcome of this would be a litmus test. And
oh yeah, and I think I would have called it out as well. Like, this is stupid. I mean, it's nice that they, you know, convict them, and it's nice that they're likely to convict. But you know, this isn't a litmus test. It's like, do Americans have eyes in their head? Yes or no?
I don't know if there's already a term for this, but we ought to coin one if there isn't. But one of those things that, just casually listening to it, it sounds really good. But once you start, breaking it down and thinking about what was actually said, you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's just dumb. And then you're pissed at the person who pulled the wool over your eyes temporarily.
Right. Yeah.
And then you like don't trust them anymore. And then that's probably a healthy thing to have to occur.
That clip was about, I think that clip is from Monday. I don't know if have you heard of anything else that happened of note this week since Monday? I didn't find anything else.
I assume they're going through the jury selection process, and that's about as boring as you could imagine it would be.
Right. Well, yeah, Jesus, this is going to be another 2 weeks. That sucks. We'll keep you up to date, but
yeah. We're on the case.
Yeah.
Like a dog with a bone.
So last week you threw down the gauntlet. Nah, you didn't really throw down the gauntlet, but I took it upon myself. I took it upon myself because I instituted a policy for people who didn't hear last week. I instituted a policy last year that I was not going to come here and play sound bites of Joe Biden illustrating his mental decline all the time. Because I thought I would just, other places do that. I thought I would keep it classy, But apparently. I was doing it.
Never one to shy away from slinging mud, comma.
No. I think I was doing a disservice, because apparently a lot of people out there are under the impression that there's not a problem. And I guess I can imagine it's because the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the NPRs, they don't highlight this side of Biden. And so I told you that I could find tons of examples of Biden just not being all with it. And it turns out I found metric tons. But
this is going to be labeled the Brian beating up on old men segment of the show.
So be it. And I'm not going to play metric tons.
It's like Brian versus Mr. Magoo. Ooh.
I can almost envision a new graphic for the show. So this first one I think is the longest that I have, but it's pretty good.
Before you get into that,
yeah.
Brian believes that Mr. Biden's losing his mind and is, a stiff wind from being carried away, by his handlers. And I believe that if you get enough videotape of anyone, enough videotape, you're going to find bloopers that make them look either like a genius or make them look like the dumbest person walking this earth. So that is my piece. You decide.
Yeah, I know that I'm not going to change any minds, but
oh, you might.
I can't remember. It's possible. There's so many here. I can't remember. Well, let's check this one out.
All right.
And I think it's a mistake to pull out the small number of troops. The reason he made the strike was because our embassies were about to be bombed. I would not meet with absent preconditions, instead of poking our eye and poking our finger in the eye of all our friends by stealing our intellectual property, their corporate state system to our significant disadvantage of anyone running up here in this race. Reduce the cost of drug prices. It sets up, it allows all the drug companies, it allows you to Medicare to negotiate. It should be free universal infant care, but here's the deal. Over 500 miles a day, 250 miles a day, there's no choice but for Nancy Pelosi that I think about the American people. I headed up the Recovery Act, which put more money into fossil, moving away from fossil fuels to solar and wind energy. If the vast majority believe their children will never reach the stage that they read, they've reached an economic security. And I think it's a mistake to pull out the small number of troops. The reason he made the strike was because our embassies were about to be bombed.
You already played this one.
I would not meet with.
Yeah, sorry. That. Yeah.
Playing the loop?
Yeah, that it restarted over. Sorry about that. So,
no worries.
Yeah. So again, I've got a bunch more clips that I'll maybe drop every once in a while just for the fun of it. But
see, I was into it. We haven't had any more Ted Kaczynski bits of wisdom. Yeah, you haven't had any Unabomber stuff.
Well, I'll be honest, it's because I just forgot about that, but I might have to bring that back. That was a good, that had a possibility to be a good segment that I kind of let fall through the cracks. Yeah. I'll dig that up.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, Theodore Kaczynski, Harvard professional. Like, you mean the Unabomber? You're like, oh yeah, well.
Now wait a minute.
It would be like, you know, the fourth or fifth episode. I was like, why? Yeah, you know, Dr. Theodore, because I'm like, wait a second. Whenever someone says Theodore, someone's hiding something. It's like a general rule.
So this I got another clip here. This is a. And is cancel culture? Ugh. And here I am making fun of Joe Biden. Is cancel is cancel culture killing comedy? ? And I do have a clip for that as well. Although I'm sorry, ladies, but this is two women talking, and I don't think I can make it the entire clip. But we'll let them. At least set the stage for us.
The 1980 movie Airplane is a beloved classic, but would it still fly today? The film's director doesn't think so because of cancel culture. David Zucker, writing in a New York Post op-ed, quote, although people tell me that they love Airplane, it seems to be included on just about everyone's top five movie comedy list. There was talk at Paramount of withholding the re-release over feared backlash for scenes that today would be deemed insensitive. Here to react is comedian Kareth Foster. Kareth, welcome. It's always great having you on the show. He's absolutely right. There's no way Airplane would be done today.
I hope that's not true. Thanks for having me, Rachel. You know, what people are not understanding is what a disservice they're doing to themselves by canceling comedy. I mean, comedy is the one thing that takes something that's awkward, that's weird, that's mundane, that's controversial, and unites us, right? And a lot of comedy comes from pain, but comedy is like one of the best ways we have to communicate with one another and to come together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought about some other movies that I thought wouldn't be made today. I don't think Sweet Home Alabama would be made. I don't think Wedding Crashers with the Me Too movement would be made. And one of my favorite movies is The Bad News Bears. No way. I mean, kids smoking and drinking and cussing, and it's so irreverent. There's no way it would be made. Here's what I find interesting. You know,
make it stop, please.
Zucker,
make
by
it
the
stop.
Way, in his op-ed.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what, the funny thing is, I can't remember. I haven't seen Airplane for a long time, but I know that Mel Brooks. I think that was one of his movies. Definitely does the stereotypical type humor. I can't believe they didn't. When they started talking about Airplane, I was like, Airplane was bad, but it has nothing on Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, I call it like racial slapstick, that the stereotypical stuff you're talking about.
I like it. Yeah, racial slapstick. I like that. Slapstick. I like that. What do you think, man? They've done it. I mean, what do you think about? I mean, is this almost a digital version of book burning, isn't it?
No, I think, like, you know, I mean, you haven't seen anybody, you know, any comedians going, you know, carted off to jail. We're not literally burning books. Some of these movies wouldn't be made today just because, you know, they weren't the greatest in the first place, right?
No, but what I'm asking.
No one will look at.
What I'm asking, though, is are you the movies have already been made, but now they're wanting to, like, go back and either not re-release them or edit them to change the original content?
That would be a mistake.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would be. Don't. I mean, if you don't want to re-release it, that's one thing, but you shouldn't, like, edit it such that it, you know, now conforms to, you know, prevailing mores. That would be a disservice for film and the study of film and evolution of film. That would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
But
we're going to talk some more about that. We got some more Dave Chappelle coming up, but and all that's been going on with that, but let's move into some more China talk. So I only glanced at this when you sent it, and so as I was putting them in the show notes here, China's reported hypersonic weapon test raises security concerns. Reports.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So imagine the bad guys having a weapon so powerful that it could destroy you before you could realize it was even deployed. Hmm. And with that in mind, you can continue reading.
All right. Reports that China may have tested a new hypersonic weapon have grabbed the world's attention and divided national security experts about its tragic significance and whether the U.S. was falling behind in a new arms race. But it also raised basic question about the new technology, what it all means, and what it is that China may have tested. The U.S. does not currently have the ability to even track this weapon, much less defeat it, said Steve Ganyard, a retired Marine colonel and ABC News contributor. On Monday, China's foreign ministry denied a Financial Times report that it had tested a nuclear-capable hypersonic missile and instead claimed that it had conducted a routine test of a reusable space vehicle. The newspaper cited five American officials who said China had launched a long-range rocket that deployed a hypersonic glide vehicle that circled the Earth in a low orbit before returning to a target area in China, missing it by 24 miles. ABC News has not independently confirmed the report. If it's true, yeah, that's some shit to keep you up at night, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Jim Mattis is famously known as, somebody said, asked him a question, like, you know, what kind of things keep you up at night? And he's like, yeah, I, you know, things don't keep me up at night. I keep other people up at night. I think, you know, a hypersonic weapon like this might give, you know, Mr. Mad Dog a moment of pause. That might keep him up at night.
Do you believe it? Do you believe the story?
Even if you don't believe it, you have to act as if it is. Because the, you know, the consequences of being wrong are just so catastrophic.
Well,
so, I mean, a little bit about how these hypersonic weapons are supposed to be used. They're supposed to be aimed at American U.S. carriers. They're basically supposed to be carrier killers.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, you know what a carrier is, right?
Yes.
You know, those things have like a lot of people on it, like 6,000, 5,000 people on it. And these things are supposed to, you know, be moving so fast that our radars can't even pick them up, right? And, yeah, they could like sink an entire fleet before we realized that we were engaged in hostilities. And so even if you don't believe it, you best act as if you do.
Yeah, within reason, I think.
Yeah, I mean, part of me said, like, okay, let's say you believe that they've developed one or two, okay? Let's say you believe that. Like, okay, they have the weapon. There's no doubt in your mind. You're acting as if. Then to me, it seems incumbent that you should want to have a war sooner because you don't want this type of thing getting, you know, production level, right? It's one thing to demonstrate the capacity to do it under laboratory like, you know, conditions, you know, doing such a thing under, you know, yeah. So you don't want them to get good at it.
I get that. The only thing that makes me hesitate is what jumps to mind is weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You know,
that, I mean, and once again, we're coming around to that whole, like, you know, our elites lied to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, When you see something like this, like, oh, the crap, the Chi-Coms have a weapon that could destroy us before we can, you know, and we can't counter it, you know, you'd be stupid to not say it. They also, these same people.
Yeah, I used to say that whatever we think however advanced we think our military and arms are, that is probably like 10 or 15 years more advanced than that we just don't know about. I don't know why I decided that or if I even still believe it, but I have to think that we've probably got some pretty horrible shit up our sleeves too that hasn't been leaked yet.
Well, and think like, you know, they've been working on stealth and on the stealth technology in the 70s.
Right.
And we didn't really hear about it until, like, you know, the first Persian Gulf War, where they're like, oh, look, let's bring out this new shiny toy. Right.
Yeah. No, it was like a big bat wing that a plane that like of a design that no one had ever seen before. Right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, to me, that thing could have just as easily stayed secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason for it to come out when it did. So,
interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm with you. If China is going, if they're going to try to push things on a military type level, man, I'd rather deal with them sooner than later, but.
And that's the calculus. It's like, okay, they've proven this capacity. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you ever play the James Bond game with the golden gun?
No, I didn't, but.
But you know, the whole premise is like, you know, once one player has the super weapon, you know, all the rules go out the window. Like you enter into a very unstable environment that nobody can find really tolerable for very long, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
So, this is one of those things where it behooves us to keep our eye on. And a lot of news is coming. And actually, one other thing. So, it's worth noting. You've heard the phrase, the sheep spent his whole life worrying about the wolf only to be eaten by the shepherd.
Yes.
Yeah. It's you know, with that in mind, I had a point that I wanted to make with that.
Did you bring that up? Did you say that like a week or two ago, or because I've heard that mentioned a couple times recently.
I think I saw that on the TikTok, and it so impressed me that I sent it your way.
All right.
And then I think we also made reference to it in another show.
Okay. Yeah. You know how I commented back before we went on break that we were just being, I mean, just inundated with LGBT news all the time. It seems like now we are being inundated with news about China. Doesn't it seem like that? There's just constant news about something going on with China.
Yeah, I noted an uptick about 2-3 weeks ago. I'm like, why am I getting all this China crap in my feed that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, China's been doing what China's been doing, but why is it now all of a sudden bubbling to the top? That was noted.
Yeah. I put this other story in here because we had made reference to it. Reference to like Jack Ma and how he like just disappeared. And so I thought this was interesting. Billionaire Alibaba founder Jack Ma reappears in Hong Kong. You was going to say?
Yeah, I would just like to note that, in most cases you think of the billionaire as being the big bad guy. And Jack Ma stories, it seems like, oh, this poor billionaire.
Yes, that's funny. Yeah, I get it. Alibaba group founder Jack Ma, and I, for people who don't know, I think Alibaba is kind of like China's version of our Google, you know.
It's more like our Google / Amazon / WhatsApp / Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. His founder, Jack Ma, largely out of public view since a regulatory clampdown started on his business empire late last year, is currently in Hong Kong and has met business associates in recent days, two sources told Reuters. The Chinese billionaire has been keeping a low profile since delivering a speech in October last year in Shanghai, criticizing China's financial regulators.
That was dumb.
Yeah, it was. That triggered a chain of events that resulted in the shelving of his Ant Group's mega IPO. While Ma made a limited number of public appearances in mainland China after that, a speculation swirled about his whereabouts. One of the sources said the visit marked his first trip to the Asian financial hub since last October. Alibaba did not immediately respond to requests for comment outside of its regular business hours. Comments from Ma typically come via the company. Yeah, so he's still alive. That's
well. I mean, somebody with bearing the resemblance of Jack Ma is still alive.
That's funny.
They have a different set of rules over there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
if I was like a Jack Ma, I'd have a lookalike walking around too.
You probably want a couple.
Yeah. As many as I could buy for billions of dollars.
I mean, you got to realize, like, if you're a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, you probably have to spend, you know, millions of dollars on your security.
Right.
So having a couple of Newman lookalikes just come in handy.
Yeah.
Chairman of the Welcoming Committee, it is my privilege to extend to you a laurel and hearty handshake.
Wonderful.
Lovely. Excellent.
Hey, Gabby, can you see him yet?
The church coming.
Ring out the church bell.
Strike up the band.
The sheriff is a nick.
What did he say? The sheriff is near.
No, God blame it, James Lemon. The sheriff is a nick.
Chairman of the Welcoming Committee, it is my privilege to extend a laurel and hearty handshake to our new nigger.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
And we're back. Joe, I'm going to bring back a game. We haven't played this for a while, but I think I'm going to stump you this time. We're going to play another game of Dead or Alive. I don't think you've ever lost. You've been pretty good, especially
I think I lost the first one.
Did you? Okay.
I think I'm three and one and something like that.
Still a respectable number. A respectable number, sir.
Respectable.
And so here's another chance for you to increase. Here we go. Dead or Alive, Colin Powell.
Recently dead. And actually, this should have been something that made our show, I think.
It should have. I dropped the ball on the show notes this week, but
did I send this your way? I mean, out of fraud. I think I referenced something that Trump said about him, actually.
That's what I seen. Yeah, like, you know, Trump had been slamming him for a long time, and Because I think Trump was all, I mean, I think Trump was originally against the Iraq war, and I think he blamed Colin Powell coming out and saying, you know, he had no doubt that they bought like yellow cake or something like that, uranium.
I think Colin Powell was probably the only person America trusted in the freshly minted Bush administration that, you know, we trusted to go to war over. Because you got to remember, I mean, hell, that whole the whole Move On movement came out of Bush versus Gore, where the Democrats thought they were, you know, they were cheated out of a presidency, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, President Bush standing up before the people, you know, you had, you know, a sizable chunk of the American populace that still didn't see him as a legitimate president. So, Colin Powell is the guy that was able to, you know, bring America along for the war effort. And, I mean, as a person who admired, I mean, who read Colin Powell's book as a teenager and mm-hmm. admired him greatly
mm-hmm.
and have great sympathy for him, because I think, you know, he was a team player. The team just had the wrong decision and did the wrong thing. And, yeah, it's a deserved mark on or tarnish on his record, because my understanding is he had low confidence in the data. That's why he insisted on George, director of CIA at the time, George Tenet, be right in the same in the shot with him. If you ever go back and look at that speech, George Tenet, director of CIA, is literally in the same shot. You can't see him and not see Tenet.
Okay.
But yeah.
Do you know, did Colin Powell ever, like, after the fact say, you know, hey, I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Or do you know?
You know, I don't know. I'd be interested in looking it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he died like, what, 2 days ago at the age of 84 years old.
Yeah.
Complications from COVID. I think he also had blood cancer, which sounds really odious. Like, you know,
blood cancer. Yeah, cancer scares the shit out of me anyway. Blood cancer.
Yeah.
God, give me nightmares tonight, man.
It is. Yeah, scary ish.
I mean, what do you do? Because blood, you know, the one thing that is like runs all every inch of your body, blood is pumping through it, and then you say, oh yeah, and it's got cancer in it.
You mean that ish is cancerous? I'm effing dead.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, you know, as trans Netflix employees protest, Dave Chappelle's fans pack his sold-out London show.
Now, I just want to know, I mean, how many trans people are in your workplace?
I'm sure there are some, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that if every trans person in my company, you know, got up and left tomorrow, we probably wouldn't recognize it. Why are there so many trans people at Netflix?
That's a good question. You know, just that alone right there, that, you know, with all this controversy, Dave Chappelle is cleaning up, you know, just money wise, you know, Netflix isn't getting, they're not taking their money back from him. They're not even removing the shows. And you know, this article says that, you know, he's getting anywhere from $100 to $300 a ticket. I guess my point would be, if the LGBT community really, if their goal was really to silence Dave Chappelle, they would stop talking about him. They would stop doing all these things that bring attention to him, because the majority of people aren't with them. And all this is just, and all this is just making people interested in people who weren't interested in Dave Chappelle, but are fucking tired of hearing about LGBT shit. Are like, oh, just, I want to hear what they, I want to hear what this guy said, and they're just amplifying him. It's like the Streisand effect, you know.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, they're in their overreaction to him. They probably introduced more people to the term TERF.
Absolutely.
Than what would have happened had they, you know, let him do a special and said nothing.
Exactly. And I'm still, I maintained last week that, and I'm, I talked about Daphne last week, and I still have in nowhere have I seen in any reporting anyone ever mention those last 20 minutes of his show, you know? Have you seen it anywhere?
No. I mean, I have not, but I've not, you know, I've seen a lot about the controversy and all these people. It's more like, oh, the, you know, these people are reacting to you know, a specific portion. But once again, I mean, of a thing that people could have, you know, been found objectionable, that wasn't the one that I would have cued in on.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he kept on making references to space Jews throughout the entire show. And I was like, yeah, I mean... I didn't, you know. I mean, he was like, you know, he did it like two or three times, and I'm like, am I missing something?
It was funny, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I can't believe that this has been October 5th is when this happened. I guess is when the closer was released, and this is the 21st. And we're still hearing about it.
In 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, a news cycle is what, 24 to 48 hours?
Yeah.
But I think there's like a news cycle, and then there's like a social media cycle that probably has a little bit longer of a tail on it. And I think there may be several feedback loops where, you know, but that, you know, actually, yeah, actually, that, well, yeah.
Right.
Well,
we'll stick on the transgender thing one more time, one more story. Transgender HHS official Rachel Levine named first ever female 4-star admiral in the Public Health Corps. Aside from the fact that the first ever female is a male. Is being funny.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because I've one of the reasons that women have a hard time making it up to the higher echelons of command in the military is that oftentimes they're not put in combat. But since earlier in this person in Rachel's career, she was a man, that wasn't a problem. Holy crap!
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that transgenders get to like double and triple dip because they get the benefit of having, you know, having, well, the transgender men. Once again, we're not finding too many transgender women.
Right.
Women. You know what I mean?
I do.
You're not finding too many people who are born women becoming men and then deciding to become a, you know, a power lifter.
Right. Yep.
So they're having the benefit of having been men, but at the same time, they, you know, there couldn't have been too many transgender people in the room when they were like, okay, we need to make, you know, a 4-star decision.
Yeah.
And you know, and send a signal, so to speak. I want to see a picture of this person.
Have you seen a picture of Rachel Levine before?
No, I don't believe I have.
Go ahead and do a quick search. I should have put that in the on the website. I'll do that when I post the show later on. I'll put a picture of her.
Is she convincing?
It's I don't want to. I'll just let you look. I don't want to say anything.
No, I am not going to be the sole bad person on this show. Wow. You're kidding me. You didn't even bother throwing on a wig. Oh. She looks like a man in a woman's suit. Wow.
Ex-Minneapolis police officer Mohammed Noor to serve 2 more years after murder conviction overturned. Now, I have never heard of this case, Joe.
Really?
That's
the only cop in the history. Huh?
Go ahead. I've never heard of this story.
Yeah, it's the only cop in the history of Minnesota that was ever convicted before Derek Chauvin.
Okay.
And it happened maybe 2-3 years before, maybe 3-4 years before George, what's his face, kneeing to death.
Yeah.
Where basically you had Noor, basically, I think he's like an Ethiopian black cop in Minneapolis, and he responded to a domestic instance, a disturbance, and long and short of the story, he ended up accidentally shooting a white woman, and he tried to do all the things that they usually work when they shoot black men, but they still sent him to jail. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I need to stop the show. I'm still looking at this picture of Dr. Rachel Levine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she clearly looks like a dude that's, you know, wearing the uniform. There's, yeah. And you know what? You were a good person by changing the subject and trying to take the rope away from Joe so I can have a little less rope to hang myself, but I went and yanked that rope and...
I tried to help you out, man. I tried.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was just the shock of it, but let's do the right thing and go back to our... yes, Mr. Newman?
Yeah. Yeah, I had never heard of this. I'd never heard this story. So what is this telling us here? It's to serve 2 more years after... So his conviction was overturned, it says. That's what the headline says.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, he must be the most unlucky cop in the history of America.
Yeah. Most police car. Crazy.
And the thing that's interesting about this story is, like I said... You know, all the things that normally work when the victim of a cop shooting is black don't work when the victim is a white woman. You go to jail for at least 2 more years in this guy's case.
Noor would serve 57 months on second-degree manslaughter, a judge ruled Thursday. He already has served more than 29 months, which means he faces about 2 years and 4 months in jail. Police car after. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just don't know enough to talk about this, but
it was a pretty big splash a few years ago.
Okay. You know, this show is, we're well under an hour. Again, I feel like I dropped the ball on the show notes this week, but you had mentioned Steve Bannon. I don't have an article in front of me, but if you want to, we have time. If you want to bring that up and talk about it,
we can. I did not have an article. We can probably pull up real quickly. Let's see here.
I mean, I don't know. Was he? They're trying to. I mean, they're going to. What did I see? Hold him in contempt of Congress or something because he didn't respond to a criminal subpoena.
Contempt of Congress. Yeah. And so back in the old days, I mean, so if you're held in criminal contempt of court, they can send people out and bring your body to the court and X, Y, and Z. And so back in the old days, if you were, if Congress wanted something and you were like, yeah, no, they could compel you. They could send literally the sergeant of arms to go get you, to take you to the to Congress's personal jail.
I thought, and so I think I'd seen an article of this though that talks about how this is only like happened once before, a conviction of this or something. Like, I don't know. I know that people ignore subpoenas all the time like this.
It's usually to their detriment. I mean, you ignore a subpoena, then you go to jail. I mean, you don't ignore a subpoena and hang out and be free and do that.
But only if they push the issue, right?
And the people who issue a subpoena are always going to push the issue. Like I said, you don't get the skate on this one. Hmm. These things don't go away, in other words. Let's see here. The House of Steve Bannon, House of Steve Bannon referral arrived at the U.S. Attorney's office today at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, according to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office. Earlier today, the House voted to approve the January 6th committee reports recommending Bannon, an ally of former President Donald Trump, be held criminal contempt of Congress after he defied a subpoena order to appear before the panel. Members of the committee have said the panel believes Bannon has significant knowledge of the planning around the attack. Now, the Justice Department will decide whether to bring charges that could result in jail time or fines. Hmm. So, yeah, you don't get to just willy-nilly say no to a subpoena and not deal with consequences.
Interesting. Well, if you ignore subpoenas, that's you're right. That's breaking the law.
Yeah, that's a no-no. And the thing is like, hasn't Bannon like been on his own like little podcast and said, hey, I was like, I was there,
I know he has a podcast. I think it's called The War Room, but I've never listened to it.
It'd be a good listen. I've listened to it before. I mean, there are worse things to listen to, like Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro.
I hate that.
Yeah, he's. What is it that you hate about him?
He's like worse than Sean Hannity.
That's funny.
It's like you imagine that in high school. He stayed being stuffed in lockers.
Yeah, although didn't he like graduate high school when he was like before puberty though? I think he was one of those kids, wasn't he?
Wouldn't surprise me. He struck me as like one of the smartest kids in the room, but he knew he was one of the smartest kids in the room. And so as a result, he acted in a way that made other kids not want to be around him.
Hmm. Yeah. I knew a kid like that growing up. Like seriously, they would take him, he would like leave. I think like once a week he would go to like some special gifted school or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And he,
I knew some, they were the smart kids in the class, a lot of more smug and
Or at least that's what I projected on him. All right. So, I think I got a pretty skullduggerous story for us this week, Joe.
I like skullduggery.
Yeah. An Indian man sentenced to life after killing his wife with a cobra.
Awful.
A man in India convicted of murdering his wife with a cobra has been sentenced to life in prison. Suraj Kumar, 28, was handed the sentence Wednesday for killing his wife, Uthra, 25 in May 2020 in what prosecutors dubbed the rarest of rare cases, agents France Press reported. Prosecutors said Kumar, a bank employee, was unhappy in his marriage and feared that divorcing Uthra would force him to return a large dowry, including a new car and roughly $20,000 in cash.
Awful.
Kumar, who was convicted of murder Monday after pleading not guilty, first decided last March to set loose a highly venomous Russell's viper in Uthra's bedroom, where she was bitten by the snake and spent nearly 2 months in a hospital, authorities said.
Damn.
As she recovered afterwards.
What an a-hole.
Yeah. As she recovered afterwards at her parents' house, prosecutors said Kumar carried out his twisted plot using a cobra that he obtained from a snake handler and tossed it at his sleeping wife. Holy shit, I completely glossed over it. He did it twice? He failed to murder her with a viper. So he
when at first you failed to succeed, try again.
Oh my god, he did.
That's the moral of the story. Awful. Dude, we need a shower after this.
Absolutely.
We're gonna be certainly was a misogynist.
Wow. That is nuts.
He must have really wanted her dead. I wonder what she did to him.
Surely it wasn't just for $20,000 in a car.
Yeah, I hope not. Hmm.
Crazy.
But sorry. Let me make sure I say this. There's never a reason to murder your wife. There's nothing she could have done or did to deserve to have not one, but two snakes. Damn. Awful. Thrown into her. Where's he getting all these snakes from?
A snake handler, he says. It says here. He got it from a snake handler. Indians love to, don't they walk around with like snakes curled up in their turbans and shit like that?
Yeah. Totally different. Instead of everything wrong.
Wow.
In every direction.
I really fucked that up, man.
Yeah.
And I can't blame it on the alcohol either.
But apparently, I mean, if this guy is 100% of your representations of Indians,
yeah,
then 100% of Indians, as far as you know, have easy access to snakes, the poisonous kind.
Not that it makes it any better, but I do want to state that when I said that, I was purposefully trying to be ridiculous.
Fair enough.
So there you go. I think the lesson to take away from this is, if you're going to kill someone with a snake, get the right snake for the job.
Yeah.
Up front.
Or maybe may have been one of those things where he needed to have two of them. Maybe she was just really tough.
Maybe.
You know? I wonder if this was an arranged marriage.
Well, just going by the percentages, there's a high likelihood that it was.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding is that, people often say, Western marriages, so many of them end up as failures in divorce rates.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear something like, arranged marriages, their divorce rates are very low. But then you hear stories like this. Yeah. Wildly imaginative ways of killing your spouse.
We
may have found the downside.
When it goes off the rails, it really goes off the rails.
Yeah. Wildly off.
I had mentioned to you before. This reminds me. I'm buying a place in Florida, right? And so,
may have made reference to that.
Yeah, and my buddy talked about, I don't know how there's, I don't know, his wife was like on one of those neighborhood, like those little neighborhood social media, like Next Door, I think maybe is what they're called, is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And people, and she was kind of like monitoring that community because going to be moving there. And they was talking about like snakes and, you know, like a big spike in snakes this year and shit. And I'm just like,
I mean, you got to remember that, you know, a good portion of Florida is swamp, I know. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just because you build a condo on top of a swamp doesn't make it no any less of a swamp.
And these condos are actually like, it's called Cypress Preserve, I think. And like a large, it's like butted right up against protected area.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
So you're probably going to get iguana and friggin' gators or crocs or whatever the hell, the difference is between the two of them.
I'm just saying, man, the morning I roll into the kitchen and there's a snake like there by the coffee maker or something, man, it's like done. That's it. Put the for sale sign up. I'm coming home, baby. But anyway, after he told me about that, though, I used to have this dream a lot when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, I can even remember my mom telling me that this was the dream, that she had this dream as well. And they're not dreams, they're nightmares. Because that night, I think it was like last week, I dreamt all night about snakes and like trying to, and snakes being so thick that I was, I was trying to like walk through the yard and trying to like just dodge, just because there's just snakes everywhere. And I haven't had that dream since I was a kid, but I had that dream all night last week. It was crazy.
What type of guilt inducing crap have you been into, Mr. Newman?
I don't know, man. I blame Mike for telling me about the fucking snakes where I'm getting ready to move. But I don't know.
As long as they're not poisonous snakes, you're good.
Nope, I don't care.
Yeah,
I could deal with those little chameleons or whatever they are that's always scurrying around.
Yeah, the geckos.
Yeah. And even an iguana, even though those are like an invasive species, I guess they're like really bad. But and I could even deal with an alligator because I think I'd see one coming, maybe. I don't know. But a snake, man. I don't know, dude.
I don't know. I mean, like an alligator under your car could surprise you.
Well, that's true. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, but then, you close the door and turn things on, and then that problem. You got a nice pair of boots shortly thereafter.
I was thinking to myself, well, I'm parking in a garage, motherfucker. But then I was like, I guess, if I was like out someplace and came back and one was under my car. You know what? Let's just let's wrap this show up and get out of here, man.
Yeah, let's do that. Because, we don't want to feel the old imagination.
Jesus.
Let's wrap this up.
So any plans for the weekend, Joe?
I think I'm going, I want to see the new James Bond movie.
Oh. Is he a woman yet?
I mean.
Is it still James? Is James Bond still a man?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still a man.
Okay.
And this is the last one with the blonde one.
Oh yeah, Daniel Craig.
Yeah, that guy. Apparently from the very first James Bond movie he was in, it starred James Bond like as like a fresh double O agent.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in this one it's set in that him having retired.
Okay.
And so I assume the next James Bond movie or franchise themed movie is going to be like following like, 009, mm-hmm. Agent 120, 00, 500.
Do you have a favorite James Bond? Or is it? Was it just not your jam?
A favorite James Bond or favorite James Bond movie?
An actor portraying James Bond.
Probably the current guy.
He does a good job. I like him. I do like him.
And the guy before him, Pierce Brosnan, there was never any doubt that James Bond would, you know, emerge on top with perfectly coiffed hair. The guy before that, Timothy Dalton, as I recall, for whatever reason. Yeah, probably, the current guy. Yeah?
Probably him. But I also, Sean Connery.
The original. You can't, I don't think you.
Can't count him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you count him.
Yeah, I don't want to throw shade at Pierce Brosnan or Timothy Dalton, because I think I like both those guys. But yeah, I'll go with Daniel Craig as well then.
Did Timothy Dalton ever do anything else?
Well, yes. He there is a show, it's off the air now, but it was called Chuck. And it was about a guy who got this like a computer program called the Intersect in his brain, and he kind of started working for some government agency or whatever. And one of the storylines was Timothy Dalton played like a Russian oligarch type character that. He was really good. He sold it. He was fun. Every time he was on screen, he was entertaining to watch. But I had forgotten about him until you even mentioned Timothy Dalton. So anyway,
yeah, I that's the only I've ever known him to be in is James Bond.
Yeah. He seems like he would be like, I bet he's all over like, you know, Lifetime movies or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Those, you know, those B-level movies that never make the actual movie theater.
Right. All right, Joe. Well, let's get out of here.
Wait a second. You can say what you're doing this weekend.
Oh, my buddy.
Gotta watch you, Mr. Newman.
Yeah, my buddy is coming. Him and his wife are coming up to Ohio to visit family. And so he's going to. Or they are going to be staying with me, so I'm going to take advantage of having them here, and I would like to really get everything that I'm going to take with me to Florida. I'm going to try to get it that I don't absolutely need for day-to-day living, get it packed up, and so I'm going to take advantage of having them here to do that, I think.
So you're going to put those guys to work?
Hey, man.
They're going to come through for a nice, relaxing.
I'm saving them a lot of money by letting them stay here, right? You know, that's like what?
Yeah, I guess it.
$100 a night at a hotel.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. If you're going to stay at the Hotel Newman, he's going to exact his pound of flesh.
It's a tax. I'll just think of it as a tax. Hey, look, if Mike wants to go live or stay, you know, stay with his in-laws, he's more than welcome to. Oh, I hope he listens to this. I hope he hears this. All right, man. Well, if you guys are still here, thank you for joining us this week, and join us next week where we will continue our never-ending quest to solve the world's problems. Several drinks at a time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm sorry. I need to stop the show. I'm still looking at this picture of Dr. Rachel Levine.
Mm-hmm.
She clearly looks like a dude that's, you know, wearing the uniform.